I'll tell you in a second. Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam, Hilchas Erevin, Perek Aleph, Halacha Chof Aleph, Chapter 1, Law 21. In the Mishnayim text, it's on page 30 and 31. Okay, so now we're talking again, let's refresh our memories. We're talking about two types of Erevs, an Erev Chatzeros, where you allow people to have access from their private homes into the courtyard and from the courtyard into the homes. And then there's something called a Shituf Mavos, a partnership of alleyways, where the various courtyards open up into an alleyway and you want to have access from the courtyards into the alleyways. And we've kind of said already that once you really effectively make the Shituf, it obviates the need in an essential basis of making the Erev Chatzeres, because it gets subsumed within, but rabbinically we say you should make it not to forget it, but if you use bread in the Shituf, you don't need it for the Erev Chatzeres, if we remember from yesterday.
Even though you're not obligated to use bread for the Shituf.
Right, right. So now we're just getting into and then we talked as well, the last halacha we learned is, you know, you gotta collect bread from everybody, but one guy can supply the bread for everybody and allow everybody to allow them to acquire part of it. He will acquire part of it on their behalf for them.
So you're saying, I thought I have this wrong. I thought you had to do the Erev Chatzeres first before you could do join the Shituf.
No.
That's how we learned it, but then we said afterwards.
Right. We just are learning two separate halachas, right?
Okay.
But really, technically, once you have the Shituf Mavos, once you've combined the Mavos and everybody from there, you effectively, everybody is contributing to everything now, so it really overrides it. But it doesn't always come out. Sometimes you have to just make a chutz, and there is no mavui. Those two halachas are still very relevant because sometimes there may only be a chutz without a mavui.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
Right, but we're saying once you're going to use bread for a mavui, then you don't need for a chutz if it's within the same domain. That's what we're saying. If you have a city with an Erev, you don't have to make an Erev Chatzeres. Because the Erev in the city makes the whole city, everyone's...
That's comparable to the Shituf.
Right, that's a Shituf. The whole city has it. That means everybody in the city's property is everybody's property. Right?
Now
there's still a lot of...
It's not a danger if the alleyway opens into a public thoroughfare?
Well, no, we said it has to have a lechi.
It has to have a lechi.
It has to be within a roof itself.
Usually that has a door, or some kind of boundary to go into.
I think like a good example of alleys, you look in the downtown Toronto area behind the apartment buildings. No?
Well, my brother-in-law lives
there. Those are like alleys.
There's no front entrance to any of them. It's all alleys.
Right,
the laneway with garage.
Back
end. Those buildings on Spadina, like they have these alleyways where the trucks go, but it goes from one building to another building.
Right. Anyway, be that as it may, let's plow on to new material. Halacha Chaval. Ein Ma'orvin Vol Mishtatfin B'Shabbos El Mivad Yom. We don't make an Eruv or a Shituv on Shabbos, but we have to make it from before Shabbos. Uma'orvin Eruv Echatzeres V'Shitufi Mavos Bein HaShemashes. But you can make them even Bein HaShemashes at twilight. Why? Afal Pishu Safik Minayom Safik Minayom. Even though it's a doubt if it's day or night, why are we going to allow to do it? Are you allowed to take Meiser and separate Meiser and Bein HaShemashes?
No.
But why are you allowed to do this? Because this is only rabbinic to begin with. Really, biblically, you can carry. There's only Shlomo Melech made the takana. So it's a rabbinic thing already, and Bein HaShemashes itself is rabbinic in terms of Shabbos. So therefore, we'll be lenient to do it Bein HaShemashes. Can't, right? Uliolam tzarech she'erev or shituf matzui. The erev or the shituf has to be around. The efshel achlon, you have to be able to eat it, kol Bein HaShemashes, the entire Bein HaShemashes. As Shabbos is coming in, from sunset to stars coming out, that period of twilight, it has to be around and edible. Not that you eat it. The food item,
right.
That's what it is. The Erev is the loaf of bread or whatever the food. It's got to be available and edible. Lefika, therefore, what if imnafal of gal? What if a pile of stones falls on the loaf of bread? Okay? O avar, you lose it. O nisav, it gets burnt. O shor truma, what if it's out of truma, a bunch of kohanim there? Vidnit misbiryom, and became defiled. Ain't an air, it's not an air, because none of those cases is it either found or edible. Now that's all if that happened before night. But here's an interesting halacha which is in contradistinction to an Erev Tavshilin. Remember the Erev Tavshilin allows you to cook?
Yeah.
From Yom Tov Shabbos? What was the one important thing about the Erev Tavshilin? It had to be around the entire time. The entire Yom Tov. Once the Erev Tavshilin's consumed, you can't do any more cooking. The other reason is because that represents the beginning of the cooking for Shabbos. So by losing that, that means I'm no longer have something to show them cooking for Shabbos. But here, the main thing is what? What was the main thing? We have to show that our properties are joined. So once I join them on Shabbos, and they've been joined symbolically, they don't become unjoined now that Shabbos has come. In other words, once we've joined, as Shabbos has descended, whatever he says, Shabbos has entered into our lives. If Shabbos has entered into our lives and we had the symbolic jointness that was there, then that's not a problem anymore. Misha Chashecha, right? But if any of these things happened after nightfall, if a pile of stones falls on you, lose it or whatever, if it comes after nightfall, where it was already clearly Shabbos, then I raise the Erev, it is still a good Erev. So the Erev, at least for that Shabbos. Next Shabbos, you have to make a new one. Uh-huh. Now, if you want the Erev to last all year long, as long as it stays from Shabbos to Shabbos to Shabbos, you're okay. You don't have to make a new Erev every Shabbos. But if
it... The food, though.
No. I said use a matzah. Box of matzahs lasts you a whole year. Right? So So here's the point. You can't make it on Shabbos, but if you have it before Shabbos, and as long as by sundown, rather by stars coming out, where it's Vaday Shabbos, you had that Eruv, then if something happens afterwards, you don't have to worry about it.
Is it the Eruv around the city if something happens?
That's something else. We're talking about different mechanisms here. If the Eruv around the city goes down, then you have a breach in the wall, and it's no longer Rishus HaYochid anymore. It's no longer a private domain. So each Eruv, each part of the, excuse me, Eruv, has different functions. This Erev here, its only function is it's making everybody a joint partner in every inch of property here. A symbolic joint partner.
Okay,
so once we started as joint partners, as the Shabbos, well, that's all we need.
Doesn't matter, the owner eats all the bread at the meal on Friday night and then no one has any interest in anything that's in the other house.
It doesn't matter. As Shabbos started, we all were considered joint owners of all the property there. That doesn't stop for that Shabbos.
Right.
But for an Erev Tavshilin, if you get rid of the Erev Tavshilin, you can't cook anymore. You finish that. Doesn't
if you
allow.
Get rid of it on Yom Tov, but if you get rid of it at the beginning of Shabbos, that's okay too.
Well, because you can't cook anymore.
Right.
Yes. You're
but your Erev around the city,
right.
If it goes down, then you no longer have the structure to create a private domain within. So you can't compare one to the other. Each one has its own rule.
So vis-a-vis this rule, this halacha, is it a matter if someone brings, if at least one person in each particular chaseros brings in Shabbos early, or, you know, if you, in other words...
It doesn't matter if you bring in Shabbos early, but you've got to have that Erev must be viable at nightfall.
Oh, then it doesn't matter. Whoever, you can bring Shabbos in early, it still doesn't make a difference.
That's okay. That doesn't matter at all.
No, but
all...
if someone brings in Shabbos early and then eats the challah before nightfall.
No, but then it's before nightfall.
Is that what you meant?
Well, yeah.
That's what you meant.
Then that'll be a problem.
I didn't mean like that he eat the challah, but
that'll be a problem. It's the challah's being eaten before it's Shabbos for other people.
Right.
They'd have to all bring it in early. Okay, fine.
Yeah, that was the question. They all brought it in early or not.
One more point, Nechafalvim. Suffolk. What if it's a suffolk? If you're in doubt, what's the suffolk? In other words, I for sure put the Erev out before Shabbos. And then, but I'm not sure if the Erev was there at nightfall. In other words, at 6 o'clock, well, let's say this week, 4 o'clock, I made the Erev. I know I made the Erev. But at 7 o'clock, it's gone.
You don't know when it was.
So now when did it gone? Was it gone at 6:59 or at 4:01? Right? So we don't know. So then we assume the Erev was kosher until the last minute of you not realizing it. So therefore, why? Because again, it's a suffik on its rabbanim. Mm-hmm. So suffik to rabbanim, we go lenient. However, they bring though, if you're not sure if you made the eruv to begin with, that kind of suffik, we don't say that now you're allowed to carry. Okay? It's a suffik eruv kosher. A suffik eruv where you definitely made it, you're just not sure how long it lasts, that is kosher. Now, another, just further, further examples of this same theme. Nasa Erev or a Shituf Amigdal. Let's say you put the Erev or the Shituf in a storage facility, a house or something, a tower, whatever. But it's enclosed. Vinala love, and you locked it up to be careful. But unfortunately, Vavra Mavteach Kodem Shechaseh, they lost the key before it became Shabbos.
People can't access it.
So now you cannot access it. Well, now it depends. Imi Efshal Holtz Erev, if it's impossible if you remove the Erev. Ella except imkain asamach by doing a biblical activity to open it up, a biblical forbidden activity. So if it's and it'll be happening bein hashmashas, then hareza kamisha aviv ein erev. It's like they got lost and it's not an erev. Shiri av shalach, I can't eat it. What do you mean? I could do a prohibited activity. Well, if you can't do a prohibited activity on Shabbos.
You have to open an electronic door to get it out.
Right. Now, so that's one example. How about hifrish trumas meiser truma gedolah v'hisna la shalotei truma achitichoshech? What if the guy was Kohanim here? Let's say he separated truma. He had this food. Let's say tevel, right? Tevel, you can't make an erev out of tevel. That's not edible food. What do? You went and separated some truma, but you made a condition. I don't want this truma to be considered truma until nightfall. I did the action before. At two in the afternoon, I separated truma, but I said, I don't want this action to be effective until I want it to be considered separated at nightfall. Or trumas meiser, the same thing for a levi. Then it's not a good erev. Why? Shadayin hi tevel kol ben hashmashas, because the entire twilight, the food was considered not edible. You have to have a meal that is proper to eat while it's still coming into the Shabbos. Okay, this was the easier parak. Now it gets a little bit trickier. Now, up to now, here's why it's been easy. And now you're going to see where things could get trickier, especially if you're in a city without an Erev. Let's say if you're in a city without an Erev and you're in an apartment building, would you need to make an Erev Chatzeris? Definitely. Unless you're in an apartment building.
To go to other apartments?
I want to carry in the hallway.
Right, okay.
Well, you want to go from one apartment to another apartment.
Right, okay.
Definitely need to have an Erev Chatzeris. Definitely. It's not a question about it.
So are those hallways like courtyard?
For sure.
Right.
So a hallway is like a courtyard.
Right.
Well,
a lane. No, not a lane, a courtyard. You're going from one house, that is a courtyard. It's exactly a courtyard. Let's think about the whole apartment building. Maybe the whole apartment building may be a shituf. Because now it's really from courtyard to courtyard. It's debatable.
From floor to floor.
That's what I'm saying, from floor to floor.
Is that the laneways?
Well, you know,
stairways are.
I'm just saying, you need some kind of an Erev, right? If there be no Erev in the city, you know, so which begs the question, so how about when you go on these discovery Shabbatons? Alright?
Well,
I don't want to get you, okay, so, you know, so now there's issues to think about. But, I thought about it before, don't worry. Okay, but I'm just saying, in theory you'd have to make one, but there's other halachas we haven't learned yet that can get you off the hook on that. But that would be a classic example where you would apparently need it. Anyway, let's say another example, I'm not going to give away all the answers right now, just let you worry. What if you are going in a hotel for Shabbos? In a city that doesn't have an Erev, can you carry in the hotel?
Outside of your room, you mean?
Out of your room, in the hotel. You want to take a book out of your room and read in the lobby.
Well, it's 2,000 cubits, right, or something, whatever it is.
No, you're in the shul. Okay, you're in the hotel. You're in the hotel,
yeah.
And you want to go out of your room, carry a book. You say, okay, I ain't going out of the hotel on Shabbos, it's out of the Erev. But I've got things in my pocket that are not muktza, and I got a book, and I want to walk from my room, and they have a very nice lounge. I want to read in the lounge.
If everybody put a loaf of bread in the bathroom.
In the hotel.
Alright?
So, you know, on the one hand, you'd think, yes, okay, and there's really a machlokas in the postgame about this.
Well, what are you renting? Are you renting just the hotel room.
Okay,
you're renting access to the common areas, so you have some interest in the common areas.
Okay.
Because your hotel cost includes...
I'm just giving you things to think about. We're not going to discuss it anymore. We're not going to discuss it anymore. I'm not going to give it to you yet. I think you have the reason to come back tomorrow. Not you, everybody else. Okay? But here's the point. But here's the point now. Here's the
he doesn't want me back tomorrow.
Here's the point that we have to bring. Until now we've been learning that everybody in the chutzer wants to be part of the Eruv. What happens? You always have one shmo.
Well, I asked yesterday, what if there's a non-Jew in there?
And that can be another problem with a non-Jew, right? What if the one guy says, I don't want to be part of your Eruv? I don't want you to go into my house. And I don't need to carry in anybody's house either. Alahachas, Nick. Why don't you want to do it? Because you want me to. That's why. I can mess it all up. There's 100 people going into a courtyard, 100 apartments, and the guy's saying, now you can get into trouble now. What if he's a secular Jew? Okay, now you can get into some problems over here. Okay, I'm just telling you what... Think so. So that's going to be the discussion here. What if somebody doesn't want to be part of the Eruv? The only way it works, you think, is if everybody has a little bit of rights to go into the courtyard. So everybody has to be willing to be combined and give everybody access to their ability to do that. So what if a guy says, no, my little percentage, I'm not willing to share with anybody. I can mess it up for everybody. So let's see what happens. Aleph, that's what this chapter is going to deal with, when you have different people.
It'll be like you beat him until he gets
stuck. No Aleph for you.
So let's see what happens. Anshe hechatzer she'ervu kulam. People of a chatzer, they all made an Eruv. Chutz me'echad mehem. Except for one guy, shelo Eruv mehem, that didn't make an Eruv with him. Bey mezid, it could be with the guy was intentional, because he didn't want to. Bein shechech, or let's say they forgot about him. Let's say the old-fashioned way. Everyone will bring a challah. Everyone will bring a challah. Right? So there were 20 people, and you know, there's always one guy who forgets. Oh, I forgot all about it. I didn't bring my challah. They didn't realize it was Shabbos. They count, ooh, there's 19 challahs. Who forgot? What are you going to talk if, you know, everyone's supposed to bring, they say, okay, it's Erev Shabbos. By 4 o'clock, everybody bring a challah. We'll have 20 challahs in the bin. It was so busy, no one had any chance to look. The guy made the bruch, he made everything, but he didn't realize that there only were 19. That's a case of forgetting, right? Which would be the more normal case. But what happens if the guy just says, I'm stubborn, I don't want to be part of it. Now what happens? Harei ze oser aleihem. He, the one guy who's not involved, he makes it all forbidden for them, right? So all of them cannot carry from their houses into the courtyard, or from the courtyard into their houses. That's the power that he has for them. What did I put in the footnote over here? So he writes over it, it's a situation where the person establishing the Eruv did not grant all inhabitants in the city, land, or country a share, as is explained earlier. Okay, so in other words, he made. Let's say the guy made the bread, and we didn't have somebody included in. Nowadays, you know, we're zoich everybody without knowing about it. So, right. But what if a guy says purposely, I don't want to do it.
Right.
Right. Anyway, so usually we avoid that. We just say we're going to do it for everybody, and no one, you know. So you say, how could the city make an error for everybody? How's the city do it for everybody? There's a lot of secular Jews, right? So what are they doing? There's a lot of things that have to be done. But one thing is, first of all, they're saying we have every Jew in mind that he gets a little piece of this challah. And it's a schus for them. If they like it or not, it's a schus. Even a secular Jew, even he doesn't know it, but this way he's not being Mechal Shabbos, right? No, I don't know. I don't know if a secular Jew would write a letter into the Vater Rabbanim and say, I don't want to be part of this. Okay, I don't know. I don't know what would be then.
I guess
that's a good thing.
Then
you have to start dealing with the city. You have to do things with the mayor who represents the goyims. You have to do some things with them too. So it's not such a simple thing, all the things that are involved over there. But anyway, be that as it may, one guy was not part of the Eruv. That's what we're up to. So nobody can carry. That's it. You can't carry it all. Now, so what could we do to fix things up? So what if Bitel Lohem Zeh Shelo Erev? Let's say, okay, now it's Shabbos. You can do now. Remember, the Erev was made before Shabbos. Remember, we said we can't make the Erev before Shabbos, but the Erev was made before Shabbos, but it's a deficient Erev because not everybody was included in it. So now let's say on Shabbos, what if the guy, you know, under public pressure, they say, come on, will you be mevatel? Will you subordinate your rights to us, please? You know? So what if on Shabbos he's willing to forgo his rights? Right? Zesho Erev. The guy who didn't make the Erev, he will forgo his rights. So then, what does he forgo? Rishus Chatzer Bavad. My rights to go into the Chatzer. Okay? In other words, I have rights to go into the Chatzer, I will now forgo my right to go into the Chatzer. Because he's not part of the Erev. He can't be part of the group, but he can say, I've relinquished my rights to the Erev in the Chatzer. So now what happens?
Oh, I see. So
anyway, let's say we had 20 entities with invested interest. Everyone has a 5% share of the courtyard. So when everyone is part of the Erev, so it means all 100% have agreed to be mixed in together.
Yeah.
Right? One guy's not there, you're missing 5% of the ownership. Well, if the guy says, I relinquish my ownership of rights to go into the Chatzar, to carry into the Chatzar. So now you only need 95% out of 95%. You have 100% out of 95%. Right? He's been cut out. He cut himself out. Then, but they said only in the chutzner. Because he wants to walk in his own house, right? Now they're allowed to go from their houses into the chutzner and from the chutzner into the houses. But Avola Besos, but they can't go into his house because he's not giving rights to his house.
And he can't go
in. Right?
He can't go out.
And right. He can't go to the chutzner either, though.
He couldn't.
Well, he won't, but he can't.
Can't carry. Can't make use of it, right?
Because he's done is he's taken himself out of the. I mean, he took himself out of the Erev altogether.
Right, right. Now, what about Bitel Lohem Rishus Beis Rishus Chatzar? What if he subordinated the rights to his house as well as to the Chatzar? Then Arei Kulmot, and then everything is allowed. Now, but more than this, hold on. Now, once he's done this, everybody's allowed for everything. Haim, they're allowed to listen to this chap. Let me review this again. If the guy just says, "I'll give up my rights to the chatzer," everybody can carry in the chatzer, but he can't carry in the chatzer. If he says, "I give up my rights to the chatzer and to my house," then they can carry everywhere, including in his house. And now, only now, can he now carry everywhere? You've been looking what? That doesn't seem to make any sense. Yes, exactly. Hey, mitnei she'erev, they because they have a good eruv. Very bita lahem rishus based on chaser, and he nullified all his domain, so he's out of the picture. The gabhum water, and he's allowed. They shalom nishlo rishus. He has no more ownership. Very koreachasam. He's a guest. Koreach and us, and a guest can never prohibit anything, and a guest is always allowed. What's about this case? You have 20 people, 20 eruvs, right? Now, guess what? A guest walks in. A stranger walks into the, walked in, and now, while he's in the courtyard, he picked up a glass of tea, because I invited a guest to my house. I invited a guest to my house, he comes to my house, we're eating in the house, and we go out into the, chutzner to have a coffee. So we say, hey, he didn't give us any permission. Well, he doesn't have any rights. But he can carry in there, because a guest, you always allow a guest goes together with his host. So therefore, a guest can carry, because he has no rights. And there, he has no liability, so to speak, so he can go in. So now the guy, who initially was not part of the Erev, once he's relinquished all ownership, he now becomes a guest. And once he's a guest, he can now act as a guest and go through anywhere in the house, anywhere in the place. Interesting. Okay, now, Beis. Let's do one more, or maybe two, we'll see. Hamavato Rishus Osam. What if the guy, they ask him, will you relinquish your ownership? And he says so, but he's not specific. He doesn't say if it's the courtyard, his house, he doesn't say, he says, okay, I'm a vatel, I acquiesce. So what do we assume the general acquiescence is? Rishus chatzera bitel, the right to go into his chatzer he nullified, but Rishus beisolo bitel, but to go into his house he didn't nullify, and therefore they can carry only in the chatzers and not in his house, and he can't carry at all. I'm a vatel rishuso lifnei chatzer, Oh, and now one more point. When the guy is mevatel, when he subordinates his domain to the Vilna Chatzir, it has to be very specific, says the Rambam. Tzorch levatel l'chol echad v'echad beferush. He has to acquiesce to everyone explicitly. He can't just say, I'll let you all, but rather, reshusi muvutelas l'cha u'l'cha v'loch. My domain is relinquished to you, Shmerel, and to you, Moshe, and to you, Shmitke, and all you guys, right? And that, now it's a machlokas in the poskim, exactly how this works. According to Rashi, Rashi says you can say, I allow everybody. You don't have to be specific. Others say, you know, Rambam doesn't like this. He says sometimes when you say all of you, sometimes all of you only means the majority. Because the rule, majority is like the whole thing. So when I say all of you, maybe that didn't mean every of you, maybe it meant most of you, and that wouldn't be good unless it was everybody. Remember, you know, like for example, all doesn't necessarily mean all. And that's why, for example, in Rosh Hashanah we say Meloich, we ask Hashem should be Meloch, Al Kola Olam Kulo. He should reign over the whole world in its entirety. Why'd you add the word in its entirety? Because the whole can maybe mean only the majority. So if the Rambam doesn't like Rashi, when I could say all, I don't, maybe I don't mean all. So you gotta say each and every one of them according to the Rambam. That's what he says. Okay? Okay. Now what about this case here? What about if one of the 20 people, dies on Shabbos? And now, and he has an inheritor who's inheriting on Shabbos, who's not part of the Eruv.
He doesn't live in that place.
But he has, but he now has ownership on death. Remember, according to Jewish law, you don't have to wait for a lawyer to decide who owns it. According to Jewish law, you know, it's, let's say the guy's got one son. As soon as the father dies, instantly he's the owner. So now you got a guy who's the owner who wasn't part of that at all. So, v'hayyoresh, so what does an inheritor do? Mevatel reshus. He can nullify the domain as well. So even though when the guy dies, you inherit on Shabbos, the inheritor now takes the place of the one in every way. So therefore, and what's more, you may even initially nullify your Rishus on Shabbos. So therefore, you see, you can even do that on Shabbos. Okay, let's just do one more because it's short. I'm still hoping a miracle will happen. I've got to walk in. I gave it all I could. What? Nah, we're not going back. Gimel. Okay. Bitlu elu ha-ma'arvim reshusam. Now let's do the reverse. How about the reverse? Let's say the guy is so stubborn, the one guy says, I ain't giving in nothing. I'm going to mess up your whole Shabbos. So now, wait a minute. Maybe we can think of another angle. How about if all of us nullify all of our domains to him?
Yeah, they're all guests then, right?
Let's think of, would that work theoretically? So, Biplu Elo Hama'arvim Rishus Nulchas Lev. What if the guy, all of you who did make the Erev, they're part of the Erev, and now they nullify their rights to the guy who didn't make the Erev? So, who Mutar? He's allowed to carry everywhere now. That's good for him. Sharei Nisho, he's alone. Because no one else has any rights. But, sorry to say, Vehem Asurim, but they can't carry. So Nishlam Rishus, they have no Rishus. Wait a minute, aren't they guests? Vein Emrim Yu Korachim Asa. They can't say that they are guests. Why? Shein Rabim Orchim Eitzel Echad. There's no such thing as having that many guests. Even though halachically, let's not confuse here. Even though let's say we have a normal chatzer and this and that and everything, and I invite 50 guests, they can all carry there. But in this halachic machination of creating a guest by nullifying, we're not going to say that everybody's a guest to the one guy. And that won't work, Shane. Rabbi Merchizel. So in other words, what we're saying is that one guy doesn't give in, you can't work around it, and if even you don't give in, we'll all nullify it to you and we can go through. It doesn't work. So it's therefore it's very important to be friendly with your neighbors.
Okay, if you only had a couple of people sharing one courtyard, there's only like three different...
Okay, well, we're going to talk about it.